Say poskim b'chvod achsania. First things first, I just want to express our hakaras hatov to the OU, to NCSY, for having us here together this evening. It's very special to be alive at a time when the most important Jewish organization, perhaps in Klal Yisrael, certainly the greatest distribution arm for Emuna and Torah and Klal Yisrael, the OU, is following the Eitzus of Rabbeinu, of Tachziku Atzmechem Yachar, getting everyone together here like this. Aldas Kol HaTzadikim, what a time to be alive. Thank you also to Yeshiva University. Thank you to Rabbi Berman for coming, our president. Thank you for holding it down for us on behalf of the Jewish people. And most importantly, thank you to all of you. Vayera Hashem el Avram, Hashem appears to Avram in our Parsha. Vayomer, and he says, Zaracha, Etenes Aretz Azos, I'm going to give you Eretz Israel as an inheritance forever. Now, Eretz Israel doesn't just mean a physical entity in and of itself, but Eretz Israel means everything in every place and every time and every way that a Jew desires to be close to Hashem, to express their Yiddishkeit. Eretz Yisrael is Ani Rotzei Yisrael. Every time a person expresses a Ratzon, or senses some desire to draw close, that is an aspect of the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. So Hashem tells Avram, I'm going to give you and your children V'chalo Zaracha Ha'aretz Hazos Vayiven Sham Mizbeach L'Hashem. Vayivin Shem Mizbeach Lahavaya. And Avram builds a Mizbeach, an altar. Lahashem Hanira Lav. Now, according to the reading of the Pasuk, that if we're just reading it not carefully, it seems that, wow, Hashem made this promise to Avram that you're going to have Eretz HaKodesh. You're going to have such a thing as Kedusha. It's going to be a world of striving, of growth, of drawing close, of light. So in response, Avram Avinu, at that moment, turns that promise, that Torah, into tefillah. Right away, he expresses that promise in the form of a Mizbeach. But the Aruch Haim HaKadosh sees another dimension. That's kind of what I'm feeling here. Clearly, Avram Avinu was grateful for the promise of Eretz Yisrael. The fixing of the world depends on our relationship to Eretz Yisrael. But the Pasuk doesn't say that. The Pasuk says, Vayiven Sham Mizbeach Lahavaya Tashem Hanira Lav. Says the Aruch Haim HaKadosh, Avram Avinu was certainly grateful for the promise of Eretz Yisrael, but the Mizbeach was just for the fact that Hashem appeared to him. It was the context of the relationship. Just spending time together with Hashem was enough for Avram to build a Mizbeach and to open up a specific channel of prayer called expressing gratitude for being together. So thank you to Dvora and to Bela, who worked so hard to put this evening together. Thank you to Yosef, to Gadi, for coming, for bringing the Kedusha of Eretz Israel, to Avi, for bringing the Kedusha of Eretz Israel, for Yoni and for Zif David, for bringing the Kedusha of Eretz Israel as it's currently iterated and revealed on the west side, and in Brooklyn. Thank you to Lee. Thank you to Tamim. Thank you to everyone for being here. Tavi Bordzaner, for providing the beat of the generation. And for the Bobo Brigade. And for all that are here, Aldas Kol HaTzadikim, to celebrate a new year of working together on behalf of Klal Yisrael through NCSY. It's a real blessing. There's no greater blessing in the world than to be in service of others. Sam's still here. Thank you to Sam. If not, also thank you to Sam for helping create the vessel here, speaking of the service of others. There's no greater blessing. There's no greater, more simple, fundamental way of emulating Hashem, who created this world and sustains this world with chesed. Olam chesed yibaneh. God is the creator, the bashefer, the giver, the sustainer. When we're in the service of others, for their physical well-being, their spiritual well-being. We're fulfilling our birthright. It's in our DNA. It's who we are. Va'avarcha mevarechcha, Hashem says, whoever blesses you will be blessed. Referring to Avram Avinu specifically, Rashi says, the Gemara, quotes the Gemara, you specifically, Avram are the bracha. You specifically, who represents, was the paradigm of giving, of being in the service of others, b'chachosmin, specifically you. We awaken z'chosavos at the beginning of our davening, in every Shemona Esrei, in every Amida. Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. But b'chachosmin, the end of the bracha, the end of the blessing, is on Avraham, Magen Avraham. The Divrei Yisrael, the Majid Zarebi, quoted his grandfather, Reb Chatzkel from Kuzmir, that this chasima, the siyum of every bracha, that the Gemara says is specifically in the merit of Avraham Avinu, is because the merit that Avraham had of not just being in the service of others. See, there are those who, so to speak, do chesed, who volunteer in a hospital and take care of other people's physical needs, and maybe in a soup kitchen, and maybe they're working in a secondhand clothing store, and doing all sorts of things to provide for the needs of people, and that's holy. And then there are others who are busy, you know, broadcasting Torah and taking care of the spiritual well-being, but what the Chatzkel Kuzmir says is b'chachosmin. What's so special about Avram that we're reminding ourselves every day is that Avram Avinu understood that those are two sides of the same coin. The Vayita Eshel, that he planted a tree, an Eshel tree, that represented Achila, Shtia, Levia, that he was giving people a place to stay, taking care of their physical needs, something to eat, something to drink, and then being mezakeh them afterwards to recognize the source of all that good. Was reminding, it's a daily reminder for us, over and over and over again, specifically speaking to our incredible team of advisors here, that it's not enough to just give over Torah, to be mechazik a person in emuna, and to strengthen a person with a good vart, and to set them up in partners in Torah, or to schlep them to a Shabbaton, or to a latte in learning, or to a JSU, or whatever other worthy and beautiful programs are taking place. But first and foremost, to provide for the needs of another Jew. Something to eat, something to drink, to physically sustain. That's the legacy of Avraham Avinu. B'chach Osman specifically. As much that he took care of the physical needs, as much as he was malav them and walked them out the door and gave them something to drink, as he was mezakeh them to know that the source of all of that good is the Ribono Shel Olam. A few hours ago, I spoke to my Rebbe. He's in Krakow. Traveling to Rebbe's in a few days after Yom Narayim every year to spend time with Tzaddikim, to spend time together. And he said, "Nu, what's happening over there?" As I said, "Mishtadlim. Mishtadlim avor Yudim. Trying for the Jewish people. Trying." And he said, "Give gifts for Yudim. Just give good. Give good. Give a good word. Make sure that people are taken care of." He said, "Is it cold there?" I said, "Yeah, it's chilly today." It was actually, I don't know how to explain, like, yeah, it's like football season, it's football weather, it's sweater weather. Like, I don't know how to explain, like, foliage, crisp, pumpkin spice latte season. Like, it's a good, this is like my wheelhouse. I love Eretz Yisrael, and I don't want anything other than Eretz Yisrael, except sometimes a little bit autumn, a little bit fall, a little bit like, you know, a little bit football weather. I didn't know how to, like, explain that to him. I also, like, whatever, I didn't know that it was the right time and place. Maybe when we're both back. But I said, "Yeah, it's a kitzat kar." He says, "As techamim, techamim." He said, if it's a little cold, so then warm them up. And most importantly, be mezake yidin. To be mezake. So I remembered a story after I got off the phone. He said, "I have to go and buy the Ramah." The Ramah is in the 16th century. I mean, our table is not set without instructions from the Ramah of what to do on a day-to-day basis. Shulchan Aruch. There's a story about a Jew who lived in the time of the Ramah that There's a story that another great Mezakeh HaRabim, who's a tzaddik in the world today, Rabbi Yanko Lezer from Shavorsk. The Shavorsk are tzaddikim in Antwerp, are known for the Achlas Asorchim, they're known for their just incredible care and concern for others. So Bianca Lezer from Shavorsk writes in his parish on Torah that there was this Jew there at the time of the Ramah named Moshe the Schlepper. Now, this predates from Shlomo, and it predates like all the Moshe the Schlepper stories that we read in the Shlomo stories. Like, there's another Moshe the Schlepper. He's like probably like the great grandfather of all the other Moshe the Schleppers. And the thing is, you know, people have different nicknames at different stages of their life. Like maybe when you're little, they call you Fudge, and you get older, you become like El Presidente or something. You know, maybe they call you Sweaty, you know, Sweaty Z or something. There's many different ice when you're younger. You get a little older, you're Itcha. But this Jew, Moshe the Schlepper, he writes this in the Sefer. The Shavorsk writes this in the Sefer. He had a number of nicknames. He was called Moshe the Schlepper. He was called Moshe Schlepper. He was also called Moshe Shabbosnik, Moshe the Shabbos guy. He was also called Moshe Shikr. You'd think Krakow is like a metropolis, like a big city. There should be like, you know, there's enough Moshe's to go around that everybody can have their thing. But apparently he monopolized these three areas, these three nicknames. He was the Schlepper, the Shabbosnik, and the Shikr. And he said that this Moshe had, like, he used to schlep stuff in the shuk. He was like the original shuk schleppers. That is a native shout out for those who are playing at home. The original shuk schlepper, he would carry potatoes for this one and carry, you know, a wheelbarrow for that one. And here and there, make a few kopek. And his thing was that every single Erev Shabbos, right before Shabbos, he used to go to the tavern on the way to the mikveh and buy like a big tall, like a honey mead, like a Guinness extra stout, whatever the equivalent was in the 16th century in Krakow. And he'd have like a nice sweet beer, go to the mikvah, and it was like the original pregame. You know, like you'd go into Shabbos, you know, having had like an extra stout. And as he left the mikvah, he'd be singing, you know, it hit, like the beat kind of, like it dropped, and he'd come out and he'd be singing Shabbos, 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 you know. It sounds like a lot of stories all in one, but there's actually just one mice. It sounds like a confluence of like many Shlomo mice. Anyways, he did this every week for years and years and years, and people would look and say, like, this guy, you know, he worked so hard during the week, he'd like scrimp and save little kopecks every day, a little bit, put it aside, the covered Shabbos, so that he could have that tall one right before Shabbos to go in the right way. One week, he's on his way to the mikveh with a stop at the tavern to have his beer. And as he passed by, like there was like this woman sitting by the window, or maybe she was sitting on the stoop, and she kind of said to herself out loud, passive aggressive, like an accidental text on purpose, she said out loud, but to herself, there goes Moshe Shikr, the Shabbosnik, the Schlepper. Look at him, there he goes. Guy works so hard during the week, makes a few pennies. He's going to go buy himself a beer, and here I am sitting wondering, an hour before Shabbos, where am I going to find enough money to buy candles to light Shabbos? But he's going to go enjoy his beer. His antenna went up. He stopped dead in his tracks, and he thought to himself, now I'm going to go drink this beer. Good luck going to the tavern enjoying this beer now, with the image of this woman sitting on the stoop without something to candles for Shabbos. Imagine. See, he turned around and he says, hey, by the way, you know, do you have everything you need for Shabbos? Because I have a few extra coins here. And with incredible Mesiras Nefesh for him, he dropped those few coins in her hand, and instead of going to the tavern, he went straight to the mikveh. He took a mikveh, he went home to get dressed for Shabbos, and his soul left him. He left, he died. He was Nifter. It was so close to Shabbos, the Chevra Kedisha didn't have time. There was no chance to do the burial, the Kvura. So, anybody been to Krakow before? Yeah? You been to Krakow? So, the Beis HaChaim is right next to the Ramah Shul. Right? So, there was a side room there. There was a preparation, like a Cheder Tahara, whatever. You should only know from this after 120. And they put his body there. They put someone to watch it. And they said, okay, we'll deal with it after Shabbos. But, like, he was there. Anyways, Shabbos happens. The word didn't really get out. And, you know, after Shabbos, they started, like, you know, the Chevra Kaddisha said, okay, we got to, like, start making preparations here and let people know. By then, the Rama had already gone into his room upstairs in the Beis Medrash, even to the office upstairs, the shul, to Motzei Shabbos to learn a little bit before Malav Malka. And while he was learning, he kind of dozed off a little bit. And he had like this very vivid image of Moshe LeShleper, Moshe LeShabbosnik, Moshe LeShikr, saying, Rebbe, 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 you have to do tshuva. They sent me from the Beis Din Shalmala to tell you that you have to do tshuva. You have a fixing to make. And in his dreamlike state, which was very vivid, like of half, you know, multi-shot, like half in, half out, the Rama says to Moshe, go home. Just go home. You should probably had a little too much to drink. Maybe you had a beer after Shabbos this week. Just go home. And okay, you know, Alta Balbel. He kind of like wakes up, or he's not sure if he'd fallen asleep. He learned a little bit more, and like he realized it's time to go home to get ready for Malav Malka. And on the way home, he comes downstairs to the shul. A guy from the Chevra Kedisha says, by the way, Rebbe, I want to tell you, Baruch Dayan Emes, Erev Shabbos, Moshe Shleper was Nifter, left the world. Levaya is going to be first thing in the morning. The Rama almost passed out. Or Moshe Iswas, the Gadol Ador, almost passed out. He says, what? He was Nifter? And he starts to think to himself, like, what? Maybe that was that. So he came from the next world? That night, he goes to Aron Kodesh and begs the Ribono Shel Olam with tears and with a broken heart, please, please, please allow Moshe to come back and tell me what I need to do. He fell asleep there in the shul, the Ramah, the Gadol Hador. And again, Moshe comes to him and said, I came from a long way to deliver the message to you, Rebbe. He said, please tell me, what do I need to do? What do I have to fix? He said, they sent me down from the Beis Din Shalmala that there's a hekpeda against you, that there's something against you there. That you're and it has to do with the area of tzedakah. He said, tzedakah? I'm going around every single day, I'm koveya time every day away from learning, away from community affairs, to go door to door and collect money for Yisomim, for Almanos, for all different things in the community. What could he possibly have against me? I'm raising money hand over fist, leveraging my accomplishments, leveraging my publications, my role here, my status, cover everything for the sake of raising money. Moshe said, in all the years that I lived in Ramam, I lived in Krakow my entire life, you never asked me. You only go to the wealthy ones. You only go to the people who have the Feinschmeckers, who have a lot of money. You go to the guys who are in real estate or running hedge funds. You don't come to the day laborers. You don't come for the kopecks. You just go for the big numbers. Know that there's a peda against you in the next world. You weren't mezakeh every person to be able to give a little bit. So by the levaya, the next day the Rama went and the entire city came out. The Rama spoke about the importance of believing in a little bit, of recognizing that everyone has a contribution to make, and begging mechila of the city of Krakow for not having properly been mezakeh others to give the opportunity to be able to give a little bit of tzedakah, to be able to have a little bit of a part in sustaining the community. And suggested that Moshe LeShikr, this Pashta guy, had this chus to leave the world Erev Shabbos B'Neshika in such a special holy time, in a pure way after the mikveh, after that incredible Mesiras Nefesh, which for him was a big deal. Because at that moment he had reached the level of Tzadik Gomor. Hashem came down and took him as a Tzadik Gomor. And to be ma'orer, to awaken the entire city with the recognition to respect a little bit, to be machshiv a little bit, and to be mezakeh others, and to believe in our mesiras nefesh, even if it's just giving up a beer on a Friday afternoon, and to be sensitive to the needs of others. to hear our messages around us, that there's always someone saying, whether out loud or to themselves, can you spare some time? Can you spare a dime? Could you give a good word? There's nothing more noble, there's nothing more important than being in the service of others. Ashreichem atov chalkeichem, ashreinu atov chalkeinu. How fortunate we are to have the schus to be mezakeh others. Whether you're signed up officially as an advisor, or you're just a shaliach without a title, every single one of us, every single moment of our day, everywhere we go and everyone we interact with, there's an opportunity to create yichud, to be mezakeh each other, to say good word to one another, to talk about Hashem together, to hold on to one another, to say words of praise, of gratitude, to offer up some type of mizbeach, l'Hashem anira lav, to recognize that when we meet each other, when we see each other, there's an opportunity to cultivate presence, and to be grateful to be in the presence of the Ribono Shel Olam. That's what tonight is about. Starting off, or continuing Azman together in the service of others. Tonight is an opportunity for us to just express our appreciation organizationally and to be mezakeh one another. So thank you all for being here. Thank you for being open. And Hashem should help us to continue being mezakeh one another in good health, happiness, and Ritz Hashem to be continuously being offering up these mizbachot Hashem anir alav. To be sameach, to feel joy, to rejoice in that we bring nachas Hashem. Hashem takes Avraham Avinu outside. Literally, says, "Come, let's step outside." Habeit na shamayim asbur kochavim. Take a look. You see the stars, how they're shining, how they're reflecting light. Im tuchal asbur otam, they're infinite. You can't count them. It's beyond measure. Ko yezaracha. That's the way your offspring, your progeny are going to look. That's what it looks like. Vamaskilim yezaru kezar harakia. The book of Daniel. Umachziki harabim kekochavim la'olam vayed. Those who are in the service of others, those who spend their lives and their time being mezakeh other people, being mechazik other people, matzdike harabim kekochavim la'olam vayed, those who are awakening the recognition that we're connected and that we reflect the light of the true tzaddikim is the greatest chizuk. That the light of the tzaddikim shines from within us, and that we, like the stars in the firmament, illuminate the darkness. That's the purpose of someone who is a mezakeh, someone who is a child, a progeny of Avram and Sarah. The Baba Rebbe, the Kedush Aszion, explained when the Gemara tells us Bechach Chosmin Magen Avraham, that we end our bracha of Zchus Avos with Avram Avinu, so that we're reminding ourselves, we're being mechazik ourselves, strengthening ourselves to be those who are ba'alei chesed, gomlei chesed, who teach emuna. That's what the Kedusha Tzion said. To really be worthy, so to speak, of living Avraham Avinu's legacy means to be gomlei chesed, who awaken emuna in others. Reb Zelek Epstein Zatzal Rosh Hashiva in our generation, from Shara Torah, Grodno, in Queens, in the city, used to say, Bechach Chosmin. And you, Avram Avinu, in your merit, Rechotem, we end the bracha, but he would say that all of history, the chasima of all of history, the end of history, Mashiach Tzidkenu, the redemption of the world, is going to be Becha, in the merit of you, Avram Avinu, in the merit of those, what we call Balei Tshuva, who didn't learn it in their homes, who didn't have necessarily the access to a yeshiva education, who didn't necessarily have the opportunity to know what to do and learn how to do from their parents. Avram Avinu was raised in a home of idolaters, of Avodah Zarah. B'chach Osmin, in the merit of those in our generation that have the courage and the bravery and the faith to take those steps to draw close to Yiddishkeit, in the merit of those, Chosmin, Mashiach comes. It's really two sides of the same coin. The Pshat of the Kedushas Tzion and the Pshat of Reb Zelek Epstein. It's the Gomlei Chasadim who are Mazake Emuna, and it's those who have the courage and the bravery to make that choice to emerge from a place of ignorance or lack of education and into the world of Shemiras HaMitzvahs. And it's all of us together on a journey. That's why the Rebbe, Lubavitcher Rebbe, was so uncomfortable with, and so strong, that we not use language that implies, that presumes, such an arrogant language that's so presumptuous of who's close and who's far and who's going to be makariv who. Instead, we learn from Rabbeinu that there's an Or HaChozer, there's a light that refracts and reflects from one to the next. In Tanyon Zayin, Lukut HaMaran, Rabbi Nachman's explaining that there's a parent and a child, there's a Rav, there's a Talmud, there's a Mashpia and a Mushpa, there's the light of the sun and the light of the moon and the stars. And Hashem took Avram Avinu outside to see that system of shining and of reflecting, like a footprint in sand. That the Chidah explains, well, what's more important in creating that footprint? Is it the sand or is it the foot? The light of the sun is reflected from the light of the, reflected by the moon and the stars. Anyone who's ever been involved in a relationship, formal or informal, where we're learning with someone, we're being mezake, we're trying to influence and share and awaken and illuminate, we know how much more we receive than what we give. And that the only way to really give over and to lift someone else up is to recognize that they're lifting us up at the same time. And that we're in this together. And that the purpose of all of this to bring nachas ruach to the Ribono Shel Olam. Anything else, anything other than that, being mitbalbel in the world of accomplishments. I got her, I got him, I made him. It's language of kfira. I made him from. I got her religious. That's not the language of the maskilim, who are being uzar kezar harakia, umatzdike harabim. Matzdike harabim kechochavim la'olam vaya, the Navi tells us, someone who awakens the nekuda of tzaddik inside of another person by showing them, I have this light and you have this light, and together we illuminate. Rav Moshe Shapiro was once addressing Zatzal. Rav Moshe Shapiro Zatzal was once addressing a group of parents of children with special needs. And he walked into the room and he saw this room full of parents with children, autism, handicapped. He was overwhelmed and he started to cry. And he turned to the person who was organizing the event. He said, what can I possibly say? What is there for me to say? He said, Rebbe, something, anything. Anything. Whatever you say, it'll be mechazek, say something. And he stood at the shtender there, after having cried with them,
He said, tell them a story that there was one time there was an avreich, a young father, who for one reason or another his wife wasn't able to be around. She was hospitalized for an extended period. And he was taking care of the kids at home. He was Mr. Mom. He was doing all the cooking, the cleaning, the laundry, making the lunches, making Shabbos. He was doing it all. And one of his family members said to this avreich, you know, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable what you're doing here in this house. You look literally, you know, have it all together. It's incredible. How are these kids ever going to repay you? About his own child. How are these kids ever going to repay you? And this young avreich, this erlichi, this ben Torah said, you know, I don't know, they'll pay it forward. They'll, God willing, they'll be parents and they'll, you know, take care of their children, and it'll be like this. They'll pay it forward, and I'll have nachas from them. They'll give me nachas. No. Anyways, that night, this avreich lay down in bed, and he was thinking about it. It didn't sit right with him. He felt uncomfortable by what he had said. It didn't feel right. He wasn't sure. He was uncertain. He made a cheshbon nefesh. He just felt like maybe that wasn't the right answer. I don't know. Maybe it sounds weird. I don't know. It's like when. Someone said, oh, you babysat your kids. I'm like, no, they're my children. I was like, called babysitting. Like that, it's called, I don't know, it's doing, fulfilling my, I don't know, it's what I have to do. And it didn't sit right with him. So next time he had the opportunity to be in Yerushalayim, he went and visited the Brisker Rav, Zatzal. And he went into the Brisker Rav and wanted to clarify, you know, was this like a, you know, like, was this the right thing to say? Is this the right attitude? And as he explained what he said to Briskov, Briskov shook his head. No, 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 no. Zer krum. He shook his, he pushed his hand away. Zer krum, zer krum. It's not straight, it's crooked. That's not zer krum. He said that the Ribbono Shel Olam is a bashefer, is a giver, who creates the world with chesed. Olam chesed yibane. He said that an attitude like this is pogea be'ikr shel olam chesed yibane. It's an affront, it's an attack on the value and the reality of Olam Chesed Yibane. They'll give me nachas is not a Jewish mentality. I'm in this mode, we're planning a bat mitzvah for our daughter, God willing, another couple weeks at May. It's Hashem by everyone. Not the bat mitzvah fellows, I mean, for your, God willing, like children, if you have daughters, Hashem bat mitzvah, you understand? To clarify these things these days. And like I've said, told me a couple days ago, she said, you know, when you get back, we really gotta, you know, we gotta work on that on the speech, which is code word for, you know, do it. We have to work on, you know, something to say. And I said, well, I already know for sure, you know, what we're not gonna say. And she goes, no, I know. I already know. There's one thing that's for certain that in the Michelle family bat mitzvah speeches we haven't had is that we don't say, and God willing, you should be a source of nachas to us and to your family. I ask my parents, do me a favor, don't tell my kids they have to be nachas to me. It's not their job. It's not their job to give us nachas. And Dr. Bitzian Sarotskin in Yerushalayim works with a lot of people going through a lot of pain. So that there's a common denominator in people who never feel worthy, out of self-criticism and lack of confidence. There's always this pressure that we're not doing enough, not giving our parents enough nachas, we're not meeting their expectations. It's not their job to give us nachas. It's not our job to give our parents nachas. It's a very nice byproduct. Our job is to give nachas to Hashem. Lasos nachas ruach l'Hashem yisbarach shemo, period. You're going to be working with kids from all different parts of the Jewish community. Everyone has a Jewish background. We all come from Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov and Sarah and Rachel and Leah. We all have a Jewish background. Not everyone has the same Jewish education. In being mezakeh others, how important it is to remember that it's not their job to give you nachas, or to achieve certain goals so we can report certain data, so we can have certain budgets, that we can do more. There's a narrative of organizational life that's essential, that's important, but that's not your problem. L'chaim, Avrami. L'chaim, Avrami. It's not your job to create a nachas factory. Mishmeres Itamar explains pshat and koye zaracha. Hashem tells Avram, this is the way they're going to be. That in the role of a mechanech or a mashpia, an advisor, a counselor, a parent, or a friend in a relationship where there's a give and take called Or HaChozer, koye zaracha. Don't expect it to be any different than to be any different. Exactly what you see right now, let that be enough for you. You want to hear? This is the Yisod. Look at your kids. Look at the people you're working with, you're learning with. Orzo, Shomea. To look at our children, to look at our chevra, our talmidim, whoever is in our group, whoever is in our region, whoever is in our bunk. Kol yezaracha. The way they are is good. They're giving off light. Know that they're a source of nachas to Hashem. They're reflecting light in the world. Techabed, respect that, love that, honor that. Make them aware of that. Ko yezaracha. Chazal explains, zaracha doesn't just mean our children physically. Everyone should be blessed with children in the right time, in the right way. But our offspring are our deeds, or our choices, or our words. Our mitzvos, our masim tovim, our efforts. Our ritzonos are also our offspring. And sometimes in our day-to-day avodas Hashem, sometimes we look in the mirror and we say it's not enough, it's not good enough. I should be doing more. I used to do more. I used to do better. If only this and if only that. And of course, to always want. But in the context of koye zaracha, to know that we're shining. To honor a little bit, to appreciate that mesiras nefesh of just giving up that beer, those few kopecks. At this moshe, let it come down from the next world to help the Ramah find his tikkun, because he wasn't collecting the kopecks from the regular people. That in the world of hashpa and influence and education, in our homes and our schools, on campuses and wherever you're going to be, in this organization and elsewhere, so that the first step of more is realizing that this is also good enough. That where we are right now is good. And if we don't feel it, then dig deeper for nekudas tovos. Then spend time speaking to Hashem and asking Hashem, help me see the good in myself. And to awaken the nekudas tzaddik that's inside of us, that's good. Of what's going right. To say, Bi chosmin, I'm bringing Mashiach. I'm living in a generation which is the last generation of exile and the first generation of redemption. B'chach Chosmin, this is the generation where those who are Gomlei Chesed, teaching Emuna, and those who are doing it on their own, the Balei Tshuva and the Mechan, we're doing it all together. How much confidence Hashem has in us. How much nachas we bring to Hashem. How much that should be wind in our sails. Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu. Manoim goraleinu. How fortunate we are to be able to be alive at such a time where there's such a thirst in the world. When people are so hungry for something good, for something real, for something sweet. Hashem should help us to continue being mezaka one another, continue being together, learning together and growing together, cultivating this very, very beautiful community together. Mirtz Hashem illuminating the world together by appreciating everything we're doing, everything that those around us are doing. And Be'ez Hashem, we should see the chesima of history with the coming of Mashiach Tzidkeinu.
Amen. Yeah.